Good morning and welcome to this service. Just look at some notices first. Dementia support group there at the top. The winter warmers lunch is next, is the 27th of May. Wickham Homeless Connection are recruiting. I want two roles, community and events fundraising officer. I would think that you would, it tells you where to look there as well, and a telephone number. Midweek Holy Communion service will be every 2 weeks. The next one will be on Wednesday the 15th of May. And then there will be Wednesday the 15th of May at 12, no, at Holy Trinity, I think it says, yes. So it will be Wednesday instead of Tuesday. Penn and Tyler's Green Residents Society annual meeting on Friday the 17th. And St Margaret's, there will be a cleaning working party from 10:30 to 11:30. Contact David Winder, who will be organising us. And then we're praying for Amanda. Eve Nelson is currently in Wixom Park, not very well at all. So pray for her. Joyce Beacock, Evie, the daughter of Laura Hobbs. We've got Christine, but we've got Christine in the congregation today. Recovered.
No,
almost recovered. Fair enough. Thank you very much. So we take up our sheets. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with you.
And also with you.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
We've come here together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may give ourselves to the service of God. So we come to our prayers of penitence. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and in faith." Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy upon us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Grant, we beseech you, merciful Lord, to your faithful people, pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessed is the Lord. Therefore shall our hearts dance for joy. Blessed are you, Lord our God, creator and redeemer of all. To you be glory and praise forever. From the waters of chaos you drew forth the world, and in your great love fashioned us in your image. Now through the deep waters of death you have brought your people to new birth by raising your Son to life in triumph. May Christ, your light, ever dawn in our hearts, as we offer you our sacrifice of thanks and praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be God forever.
We have our first hymn, All Creatures of Our God and King, number 645.
Thank you.
night is past and the day lies open before us. So let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. And for our psalm, we're going to sing a hymn 314, Joy to the World. Now we sit to hear the first reading.
The first reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, beginning to read at verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. This is the word of the Lord.
Now we come to the Old Testament canticle. Blessed are you, God of Israel, for ever and ever.
Yours is greatness, power, glory, strength, and majesty.
Everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Riches and honour come from you. In your hand are power and might.
Yours is the power and strength of all.
And now we give you thanks, our God.
And praise your glorious name.
For all things come from you.
And all your
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Now we come to the second reading from the New Testament.
The second reading is taken from the first letter of John to the church, chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is the love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead.
And Christ shall give you life.
You have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead.
Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth.
And Christ shall give you life.
When Christ our life appears, you will appear with him in glory. Shall give you light. We stand for the Benedictus. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has raised up for us a mighty Saviour. Through his holy prophets, God promised of old. To show mercy to our ancestors. This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham. Free to worship him without fear. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High. To give his people knowledge of salvation in the tender compassion of our God, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Please be seated. A reading from John's Gospel, chapter 15, beginning to read at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learnt from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I choose you and appoint you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love one another. A middle school teacher asked her class one day to write imaginative definitions of a friend. One student said, "A friend is a pair of open arms in a society of armless people." Another said, "A friend is a warm duvet on a cold and frosty night." Others said, "A friend is a lively polka in the midst of a dreary music concert." "A friend is a mug of hot coffee on a damp, cloudy day." "A friend is a beautiful orchard in the middle of the desert." "A friend is a hot bath after you have walked 20 miles on a dusty road." Lovely thoughts. Mark Twain said, "The holy passion of friendship is of so sweet and steady and loyal and enduring a nature that it will last through a whole lifetime if not asked to lend money." Friendship. Friendship is clearly a wonderful thing. What else makes for friendship? What else makes for friendship? Well, according to Jesus, expectations are involved. He says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit." During the Vietnam War, a rural village had been bombarded with mortar shells, and some shells landed on an orphanage run by missionaries. The missionaries and a few of the children were killed outright. Several other children were wounded, including an 8-year-old girl who had multiple injuries and was bleeding profusely. In response to a runner sent to the nearby town, a young Navy doctor and nurse came with only their medical kits. The young girl was in a critical condition and in need of an immediate blood transfusion. Blood typing indicated that neither the Americans had the right blood. However, several of the uninjured people did. Several of the uninjured children did. The Navy doctor spoke a little Vietnamese and the nurse some high school French. Using what language they had and a sign language, they tried to explain to the frightened children that unless they could replace some of the girl's blood, she was going to die. They asked if anyone would be willing to give blood to help. Wide-eyed silence met their request. After several moments of eye-searching, a little hand went slowly up, dropped down, and then went up again. "Oh, thank you," exclaimed the nurse in French. "What is your name?" "Heng," came the reply. Heng was quickly laid on a pallet. his arm swabbed with alcohol, the needle carefully inserted into his vein. After a moment, he shuddered, covered his face with his free hand. "Is it hurting, Hench?" asked the doctor. He shook his head, "No," but he kept sobbing, his eyes tightly closed, his fist in his mouth to stifle his sobs. Something was very wrong. Just then, a Vietnamese nurse arrived to help. Seeing Henge distressed, she spoke to him in Vietnamese, soothed him, answered him, stroking his forehead, soothing and reassuring him. After a few moments, Henge stopped crying, opened his eyes, and a look of relief spread over his face. Looking up, the Vietnam nurse explained to the Americans, "Hinge thought he was dying. He misunderstood you. He thought you asked him to give all his blood to save the little girl." "But why should he be willing to do that?" asked the Navy nurse. The Vietnamese nurse repeated the question to Hinge, who replied simply, "Because she is my friend." We might ask, have you ever had a friend like that? It was on a hill called Calvary, outside a city wall and overlooking the town dump, where your friend and mine died that we might live. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. The next lesson we heard from the scriptures today is the nature of Christian love. A man whose body was painfully twisted and deformed by polio wrote an article saying his spirit was unconquerable. "My body may be handicapped, but my mind isn't." When asked whether he was always blessed with such a wonderful positive attitude, he said, "No, not always. I was terribly self-conscious and happy as a teenager. I would never undress in a locker room where other boys could see me. Even the prospect of a routine physical examination left me filled with self-loathing and dread. One day, I had to endure yet another physical exam by a doctor I'd never met before. He was completely impersonal, unprofessional, but I was miserable. Afterwards, he told me to get dressed, and he sat down at his desk and asked me to excuse him briefly. "He'll be back in about 10 minutes, he said, and then left the room. I sat there staring at the form on his desk, wondering what sort of grim notations he might have made about me. At last, unable to contain my curiosity, I went over and looked at it. There were some medical references that meant little to me. But then my eye fell on what he had written in the box reserved for comments. There had been written 5 words in a strong, clear hand. "He has a magnificently shaped head." I'll never forget the extraordinary sense of relief that flooded over me with those words. They made me feel that I was not just a cripple, not just a freak. I was a human being. Right there and then, I made up my mind to put my handicap in his place and to make the most of myself, regardless of the circumstances. And the most marvellous component of that tremendous feeling of warmth and optimism was the knowledge that this doctor, this perceptive, caring doctor, had staged the whole thing. He had left the room knowing that I would be unable to resist the temptation to look at a piece of paper on his desk. And he had written a prescription desired to restore my shattered self-esteem. What a wonderful thing. It turned me completely around and has illuminated my whole life. When I read this man's story, quoted by Norman Vincent Peale, I thought, love comes in many different ways. It can be as heroic as laying down one's life for one's friends, or it can be as simple yet gratifying as the doctor's attempt to reach out to a young man miserable under his handicap. Ruby Bridges was a 6-year-old African-American girl from New Orleans in 1960, when the federal government desegregated public schools in New Orleans. She was admitted as one of 3 girls that the federal courts ordered admitted to all white schools. Ruby had to be escorted to and from the school by federal marshals. Hateful mobs gathered every day to intimidate her, to vent their hatred, to shout racial epithets. Ruby walked the gauntlet every day and never seemed to be bothered by the invective hurled her way. When it became clear that she intended to stay, the parents of the white students pulled their children out of the school. So Ruby ended up as the only student in the school that year. It was just Ruby, the federal marshals, a teacher, and ugly moths. Dr. Robert Coles was a Harvard psychiatrist at that time, and he went to New Orleans to talk to Ruby and write a scholarly paper about her experience. When he arrived at the school, he asked Ruby how she was doing. She said she was doing fine. Her mother said she was doing fine. Coles kept trying to probe more deeply, how to find out what was really happening with Ruby and her mother. How could he get her to reveal their inner torment? Then one day, he met Ruby's teacher. The teacher said, "You know, I don't understand this child. She seems so happy. She comes here so cheerfully." Then one day, Coles learned from a teacher that Ruby seemed to be talking to herself as she walked with the marshals through the ugly crowd. Coles went to Ruby's house that evening and said, "Ruby, I was talking to your teacher today and she told me that she saw you talking to people in the street." "Oh yes," Ruby said. "I wasn't talking to them. I was just saying a prayer for them." Coles asked, "Ruby, do you pray for the people there?" "Oh yes," Ruby responded. "Really?" "Yes." "Why do you do that, Ruby?" "Because they need praying for." "Do they?" "Oh yes." "Ruby, why do you think they need to pray for them?" "Because I should." Ruby's mother came into the room and she explained, "We tell Ruby that it's important that she pray for the people." So each day, before facing the angry mobs, Ruby said a prayer asking for forgiveness for her tormentors. There are echoes there what somebody else also said in difficult circumstances 2,000 years ago. There's little Ruby. I had taken no courses in moral analysis or systematic ethics. She hadn't read all the books we treasure. Yet somehow she walked through that mob praying for those people every day and quoting for the Bible those sayings, those stories Jesus told in Galilee. Perhaps that ought to haunt us. She remained in Jesus, abided in him. Jesus was part of her life, as real to her as her parents. Jesus has said that we should pray for our enemies, so she prayed for her enemies every day. Jesus said, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it will be done for you." That happened to Ruby. Her prayers for the ugly mob had their effect. The mob didn't go away in a day or a week or even a month. The mob came every day to shout at her, to try to intimidate her, and she kept praying for them. And eventually, the mob went away, and the schools were integrated, and people learned to live in peace. Amen. Stand for the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We've changed our next hymn. It's now hymn number 22. And we will sing it together. Number 22. Thank you. pray with us and for us. Please be seated.
Let us pray. Love is at the heart of our faith, the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Lord, show us how to express our love as we live our lives day by day. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
And Lord, we feel your love for us as we live our lives here on earth, in the good times and the bad times, in sickness, in health. We thank you, Lord, for your unconditional love. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, as I open and close the church each day, I take in the peace and beauty of this place, aware of your sacred presence. How comforting, Lord, that each day we can, through prayer, share our lives with you. We thank you, Lord, for being there for us. Lord, in your mercy. Many who have loved this place before us are recorded in stone and glass in and around the church. Their lives, some long, some short, are recorded in just a few words. Most are no longer known to us, but we know that they are cherished by you and that we will follow them into life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. Many of us will know young people who are in the midst of their exams, particularly A-levels, where so much seems to be at stake. Their dreams are tied up in a few grades. Lord, help them weather the storm of this pressure. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we live in a world where hatred, revenge, and cruelty seem to be the dominant force. Help those in positions of power to see that understanding and forgiveness are a better way forward. Lord, in your mercy. In a moment of silence, let us reflect on those who need our love and prayers at this time. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lord, today we pray especially for Eve Nelson as she's in hospital, not very well at all. We ask, Lord, that you'll give her the knowledge of your presence and healing to bring her back to us, fit and in health. In Jesus' name, Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our final hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, number 593.
Amen.
salvation. You have restored us to life. You have brought back us again, back again into your love by the triumph of death and resurrection of Christ. Continue to heal us as we go to live and work in the power of your Spirit to your praise and glory. And we face each other over the aisle and we say together, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Please be seated.